Hopefully you were handed an outline by my friend Mr. Randy. Now would be a great time if you take your outline out. We'd like you to have that so you can jot down notes, so you can follow along with what we're studying tonight, and so that maybe you can go back to it later this week, look at it again, or maybe even share it with somebody who wasn't here tonight, something that you learned. We're going to be continuing our series where we're looking at King Solomon. Really, in 1 Kings, it starts telling us the story of King Solomon, who was David's son. And we saw so much about King Solomon's life already, his amazing wisdom, the way he built Israel up, the way he built the temple, the amazing knowledge that he shared with the world around him. But then we also saw that King Solomon did a slow fade away from God, and where God became an optional God to him, where he got involved with other gods, and this caused really the downfall of Solomon. And if you finish 1 Kings chapter 11, I'll just finish to you orally right here so you'll know what happened before we start chapter 12. It tells us in the end of chapter 11 that there was a man named Jeroboam. There's going to be two names very familiar, Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Okay, first we're going to talk a little about Jeroboam. He's going to come back later in this story. And Jeroboam was one of the men who worked for Solomon. Solomon was kind of in the tail end of his life here, and he was doing some repairs, actually, in Jerusalem. They said that he was repairing, really, the porches and terraces of the city wall. And Jeroboam was doing this job for Solomon, and he was very good at what he did. And Solomon liked Jeroboam because of his adept attitude in building. What we find out, though, is that Jeroboam is out on a journey one day, and he comes across a prophet. And this prophet pulls aside Jeroboam, and the two of them together go out into a field, and this prophet wants to share something from God to Jeroboam. And the prophet had just bought a new cloak, and he takes off this cloak, and he tears it into pieces. He tears this into 11 pieces, and or 12 pieces, and he takes them, and he starts dividing them, and he puts one aside and gives all the rest to Jeroboam. And he tells him, this represents Israel. Only one piece is going to be left for King Solomon and David's household, the reign of David. Only one piece is going to be left. The rest is all going to go to you, Jeroboam. You are going to be the new king over Israel, while David's son, Rehoboam, he will be the king only over one small part called Judah. Then chapter 11 closes, saying that Solomon died, was buried with David, and that his son Rehoboam would be named the next king. That's where we pick up tonight. And if you brought your Bibles, we can start at 1 Kings chapter 12 at verse 1. If you didn't bring your Bibles, that's fine. You don't have to have a Bible with you. We're going to bring up all the pertinent scripture on the center screen so that you can follow along with me. We're going to cover a lot of text tonight, but I think you're going to find you can stay with it pretty easily. Here we go. Rehoboam. Now, this is Solomon's son, Rehoboam, who's going to be the next king. Rehoboam went to Shechem, where all Israel had gathered to make him the new king. When Jeroboam, that's the other guy now, this is the guy who worked for Solomon, when Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this, he returned to Egypt, for he fled to Egypt to escape from King Solomon. Solomon had heard about that whole deal with the cloak. He had heard about this prophecy. All of a sudden, Solomon was after Jeroboam. Well, the leaders of Israel summoned him, and Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel went to speak to Rehoboam. So Jeroboam comes back, and all of Israel says, let's go talk to this new king, Rehoboam. We don't know much about what he's going to do. Let's go talk to him. Verse 4 says that they came, and they spoke to Rehoboam and said this. Your father, Solomon, was a hard master, they said. Lighten the harsh labor demands and the heavy taxes that your father imposed on us. And then we will be your loyal subjects forever. Rehoboam replied this. Give me 3 days to think this over. Then come back for my answer. And so the people went away. Now, as you see, what happens here is Jeroboam has run away. Jeroboam, the guy with the cloak pieces, right? He runs away because Solomon was going to be after him. And Solomon dies. Solomon is going to be succeeded by Rehoboam. When Rehoboam is going to be made king, Jeroboam comes back with all these people from Israel, and they come and they talk to Rehoboam, and that's when they bring this request to him. We didn't really realize, because we hadn't really read so much about that, but Solomon had done a lot of what he did by doing very high taxes on the people and working them very hard. Solomon accomplished a lot, but apparently he had done it a bit harshly. So now Rehoboam, the new king, Solomon's son, is asked by Jeroboam and the rest of Israel, can you lighten up a bit? Can we bring this down a notch? It's a little much. We just want you to bring it down, and if you do, we're going to be your loyal subjects forever. So Rehoboam, before he answers, says, you know what? Give me a couple days to think about this. Now, is Rehoboam trying the old stall tactic? I don't think so. I think actually what he's doing is actually a good thing. We're going to make that our first observation tonight. Point one. Here's how we're going to say this, and I'm going to unpack it for you. Teachability leads to reachability. Gang, one of the best traits we can have is being teachable. Being teachable. If you are teachable, your goals are going to be reachable. This is the elusive art of saying, I don't know what's best in a given situation. Here we have this new king, Rehoboam, and he doesn't know how to answer this very straightforward question. He doesn't know what's best when they ask him, should he lighten up on the people? Should he lighten the burden of taxes? Should he lighten up on their workload? He doesn't know the answer. Now, gang, let me tell you, I'm a firefighter, as you know, and I sit around a table with a lot of very, very, very intelligent men. They'll tell you how intelligent they are. They have answers for everything, these men. Now, I cannot think of a one man at the table I sit at who would not have an answer to the question, should you lighten up on the taxes? Should you lighten up on the workload or not? Every one of these men would have an answer as to whether they like lower taxes, bigger government, smaller government. They would have an answer. But Rehoboam doesn't. He doesn't give an answer. Instead, he says, I don't know what's best. So, instead of answering out of my emotions, instead of answering out of ignorance, let me have a little time. You see, gang, being teachable is a very valuable habit for us to have in our character in making our goals reachable. We don't know how to answer, and we don't know how to act in every single situation. We will and should look and ask for help. Never was this more glaringly clear to me than October 1994, I came home from Muhlenberg Hospital with baby Katie, my first child. And let me tell you, I didn't tell anybody, but I was scared to death. You think I don't know how to work on cars? I really don't know how to work on infant babies. I did not know how to feed an infant, had no clue how you feed an infant. I did not know how to be a dad. I'd never been a dad before. I don't know how to do that. I didn't know if I could finish what I had just started, and it was a bit overwhelming. So I went into teachability mode. I ran and asked Kelly's mother, please come stay with us for a week and teach me how to do this. She taught me how to warm up formula. She taught me how to test and make sure the formula is the right temperature. How to burp a baby. How to change a diaper. How to treat diaper rash. How to wash a baby. How to hold that baby. How to talk to her. How to sing to her. How to love her into being the little girl she was supposed to be. And how to be a dad. I ordered tons of Christian books on how to be a godly father, books on how to be a good king, books on how to be a wise mentor. You see, gang, we need to be pilgrims on our journey to the celestial city who are good students. We need to be humble learners and voracious apprentices. young men, young women. You need to admit that you don't have all the answers on how to do dating perfectly. What should dating look like? How should it go? Be teachable. Seek counsel. Buy the book by Joshua Harris, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, and learn. Be good students. Spouses, we learned in our small groups that we don't have a clue to reach the goal of having a great, wonderful marriage, but we were good students. Now we have to keep going, being voracious apprentices in loving and respecting our spouses, with marriage conferences, with books, with DVDs like Marriage on the Rock and the Family Life Marriage Conference. And there's so many people today who are not taught a hard work ethic. A lot of people are not taught how to work hard. People are not taught how to be a valuable employee. People are not taught today about delayed gratification, working towards something that will come, not having things instantly that gratify us, or even sacrificing for ourselves for a common good. If we humble ourselves, though, gang, if we seek wisdom and learning, we can achieve those things. It was funny, I read a statement recently as I was studying, and the statement was by Henry Cloud, and this is very interesting. He defines the word character, and he says, character is the ability to handle the demands of reality. Now, I've never heard that before, and I've studied a lot on character and leadership, and that definition mesmerized me when I read it, and I couldn't wait to unpack it. You see, because one of the facets that hits me in that is that I, in myself, do not possess all the intelligence, and I, inside myself, do not possess every bit of know-how to handle everything that reality, life, will throw at me. But I do possess everything I need if I ask God, if I learn from others, and if I desire and am willing to take help. Like we say in our leadership class, none of us is as smart as all of us. We must be teachable. We must seek counsel, and we must be able to handle all that reality throws at us with help. Okay, so let's go back to our story. The jury is still out on King Rehoboam as to whether he's a good king or a bad king. But we like, right, we like the fact that he was teachable in seeking counsel and admitting that he doesn't know everything. Now let's read on and see what King Rehoboam does over those 3 days. Here's what he does. Verse 6. Then King Rehoboam discussed the matter with the older men who had counseled his father Solomon. What is your advice, he asked. How should I answer those people? Well, the older council replied, if you are willing to be a servant to those people today and to give them a favorable answer, they will always be your loyal subjects. But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the older men and instead asked the opinion of the young men he had grown up with, who were now his advisors. What's your advice, buddies? No, I didn't say it that way, but you know what I mean. He asked them, how should I answer these people who want me to lighten the burdens imposed on my father? The young men replied, this is what you should tell those complainers who want a lighter burden. My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. Yeah, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I'm going to beat you with scorpions. Yikes. Talk about polar opposites when it comes to advice. Number two in our study says this, lots of voices offer truth and guidance. Okay, we just read that Rehoboam, right, he goes to the older sages. These are the seasoned veterans, the ones who know. And he gets advice, and then he goes to his peers, and he gets different advice. The older sages, as we read, say that Rehoboam should lighten the tax and toil burden on the people. And if he does this, Rehoboam will endear himself to them forever. But the young know-it-alls say that he should show the people who's boss. He should ramp up their taxes and increase their burden to the Israeli government. As you have probably seen in your lifetime, there is no shortage of people offering opinions on right and wrong, and no shortage of choices on how we are to live. Gang, I grew up in church. I grew up going to church my whole life. I learned God's truth. I learned God's guidelines on right and wrong and how life should be lived. But guess what? I also got plenty of other advice, all right? I got plenty of advice at church, but I got plenty of other advice, and here's where I picked up some of my other advice. My neighborhood friends. My neighborhood friends who didn't know God, but they were just my buddies. I picked up advice from them and information on how to live. I also picked up a lot of advice, a lot of counsel from the music that I listened to. I loved the philosophical singer-songwriters. I loved those guys. I ate that music. And I also picked up a lot of advice, a lot of counsel, a lot of information, a lot of guidance from the movies and the TV that I love to watch. Well, gang, what I found, now that I'm a little older, what I found was that the answer, my friend, was not blowing in the wind, as Bob Dylan had encouraged me and informed me it would. What I determined was that love's all you need wasn't really all you need. And what I found out was that though we are born to run, we can't run away from our problems. Gang, Rehoboam goes to his sages and his peers, and it's not a bad idea, but there is a better sequence. I'm going to offer you a better sequence on how to get advice. Let me give this to you now. The first place you go for advice, inquire of God. Here's what I mean. Before anything else, you and I should go to the written word of God, the Bible. We can understand it. We study it here every Saturday night. We're studying it right now. You go to the Bible for your answers. Gang, God did not write all of that down so that we would not do it. He wrote all of it down so we would read it, so we would understand it, and so that we would do it to help us live life to the full. Look at what Jesus says in John 18:37. Pastor Scott taught us this not that long ago in a men's group. It's the reason Jesus came to this world. Here's what it says. This is from John 18:37. Pilate, he's standing before Pilate, Jesus, and Pilate says, "So you're a king." And Jesus answered, "You're the one saying I'm a king. This is why I was born and came into this world, to tell people the truth. Everyone who cares for truth, who has any feeling for truth, recognizes my voice." That's Jesus speaking. Gang, Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. And that is the best place we can start on our inquiry when we need advice, counsel, wisdom. Lord, here we go. Lord, should I lie to my parents about this thing that I did? Gang, your answer, you don't need to go to sages. You don't need to go to peers. Your answer on whether you should lie to your parents about something is in the Bible. It's written down, the answer. If you don't know it, come see me, I'll show you. Here's another one. Lord, should I go to this party where things always get a little out of hand at those kind of parties right there? Should I go to that party? Well, let me tell you, you don't need to go to a sage. You don't need to go to a peer. Your answer is in the Bible. It's there. I can show you. Lord, should I date this person even though they're not a follower of you? Now, I am a follower of you. Should I date this person even though they're not a follower of you? Your answer is already written down in the Bible for you. We go to God. We go to the Word of God first and inquire there. Second step, ready? Second, inquire from God-following successful examples. I know that's a little long-winded. Don't worry, it gets even worse than in number three. All right, inquire from God-following successful examples. Now, what I mean here by this is to look for people who are following God, first of all, who are living the way you want to live. Does that make sense? Look for followers of God who are living the way you want to live. Look for people who have already been successfully navigating the course you're on that you're trying to go through. Look for those folks and ask them, I need advice. I need counsel on this. And you've gotten there. You do this. Ask them. When Kelly and I were dating, we met a couple named Lou and Patty Rogge. Met them at church. I think we were playing church softball together, and they invited us to their house. They had a little boy, I know his name was Ryan. He was probably 2.5, maybe 3. So me and Lou are sitting in the living room, we're talking, and in comes Ryan, this little 2.5, 3-year-old boy. He walks into the room and he stops, walks over to me, doesn't know me, walks over and puts his hand on my arm. I found this very strange. He wasn't out of sorts. He wasn't. He just really calmly walks over, puts his hand on my arm as I'm talking to Lou. And Lou says, I don't mean to cut you off, Drew, but just to let you know what's going on. Ryan would like to say something, but he knows not to interrupt us. So he's putting his hand on your arm so that you will know he'd like to speak next. I said, Lou, Patty, tell me how to raise kids. Why? Because they know how to raise kids. Gang, if some child is flipping out in a shopping cart and their mother is screaming unrealistic demands, unrealistic threats at them that they're going to tear their head off if they don't shut up, do not ask that mother for advice on how to raise kids. Make sense? You look for God-following examples. God-following successful examples. If I need marriage advice, I go to people who have a great marriage. Believe you me, lots of voices, gang. Lots of voices are trying to offer truth and guidance. First, go to God. Go to God's word. Second, go to people who have their act together and they're living out the example. All right, here we go. Let's get the verdict on King Rehoboam. All right, let's see where we're going with this. Verse 12. 3 days later, Jeroboam, remember, he's the guy who's going to get the 10 nations of Israel. Jeroboam and all the people returned to hear Rehoboam's decision, just as the king had ordered. But Rehoboam spoke harshly to the people. For he rejected the advice of the older counselors, and he followed advice from his younger advisors. He told the people, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make things even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I'll beat you with scorpions. So the king paid no attention to the people. Now this turn of events was the will of the Lord, for it fulfilled the Lord's message to Jeroboam. Remember that thing out in the field? The message that he had received from Ahijah from Shiloh, that was the prophet. Verse 16, when all Israel realized that the king had refused to listen to them, they responded, down with the dynasty of David. We have no interest in the son of Jesse. Back to your homes, O Israel. Look out for your house, O David. So the people of Israel returned home, but Rehoboam continued to rule over the Israelites who lived in the towns of Judah. King Rehoboam sent Adoniram, who was in charge of the labor force, to restore order. He sends a delegate out to talk to them. But the people of Israel stoned him to death. When this news got back to King Rehoboam, he quickly jumped into his chariot and fled to Jerusalem. And to this day, it says in verse 19, the northern tribes of Israel have refused to be ruled by a descendant of David. When the people of Israel, the 10 nations, returned When they learned that Jeroboam had returned to Egypt, they called an assembly, and they did make Jeroboam the king over those 10 nations of Israel. The only tribe, the tribe of Judah, remained loyal to the family of David. Another observation, our last one tonight, point three. I'm going to offer you this point in one of two ways. The first observation, we'll say it this way, gang. Answers are there, but we need to accept the answers and come in line with them. Now, I know that's a bit wordy. I get that. I understand. I like this point the way it's written. It's clear, but it's a bit long-winded. And I'll let you in a little behind the scenes here. I have to admit that if this was in one of Pastor Scott's messages or Elder Robert's messages, I would encourage them to reword that. Ms. Robert, would I ask you to reword that into something a little bit more pithy? Something a little more that you can get your teeth into that may be a little shorter and easy to remember. And I struggled with this one, and I came up with this. Roll with it, baby. A.K.A. Steve Winwood. You just roll with it. All right, you know it, all right? You pick whichever one's easier for you to remember because they both say the same thing. The truth is the same, and that is this. The truth is you will find answers, gang. You will find answers to your questions. The old sages, remember, they had the right answer. They told him how those people would be loyal to him the rest of his life. You will find answers, but Rehoboam refused to do what needed to be done. He refused to do what needed to be done. Gang, in my home office, where I do a lot of my counseling now, I have this on the wall. It says, the number one reason people do not get help in counseling is that they are unwilling to do what it takes to fix the problem. You can take that truth, gang, to the bank. When you and I look for solutions to fix problems, I have found that solutions are there. People's willingness, however, is not always there. Is your marriage a mess? There is always hope. There's always hope and solution. But are you willing to do it? Are you willing to roll with it, even if it goes against what you're thinking? I'm getting fired from every job that I get. Friend, there is hope and there is solution. But are you willing to do it? Are you willing to roll with it, even if it goes against what you feel in your heart? Well, then there's the even more scary one. I can't make ends meet financially. I can't make ends meet. Friend, there is hope and there is solution, but are you willing to do it? Are you willing to roll with it, even if it doesn't feel right? The number one reason people do not get help in counseling is that they are unwilling to do what it takes to fix the problem. You've got to give your spouse another chance. You've got to give your spouse another chance. No, I won't do it. Well, I printed this out for you. I even put it on pretty paper. This is all you're getting from me in counseling. Sorry. You have to forgive your parents. You got to try to risk love again. No way! I ain't doing it! Here's your sign. We're done. I think you'll find the help you're looking for on Saturday nights at our church. I think you will. We're not a perfect church, but we sure find answers. I think you'll find what you're looking for at that church. No way! It's too far. I'm not driving there. Here's your sign. Put that up on your refrigerator. And you know what? You send me a nice text and let me know how your decision's working out for you. And this sign will be what you remember me and counseling by. Gang, One of the most prominent events in all of the Old Testament happens right here in 1 Kings chapter 12. Because right here, Israel is divided into two kingdoms. And this is a devastating separation. It's even worse than America's Civil War. Because for Israel, this separation is going to last 344 years. And it's only going to end because both kingdoms are subdued and conquered and vanquished by other nations. King Rehoboam went looking for advice. Give me 3 days. I need to get advice. And in those 3 days, he chose poorly. It's dumbfounding. It's flabbergasting the impact that one decision has made in so many lives. But what we're finding is that one decision in our lives can be just as devastating. Teachability leads to reachability. Be teachable and you have a chance at reaching your goals. When a teacher says something to you, listen. When a parent says something to you, listen. When a good friend says something to you, listen. When a coach says something to you, listen to what they have to say. Teachability will lead to reaching your goals. Gang, lots of voices are out there. You know it. I don't have to tell you. You know there's lots of voices offering you what's true, offering you their guidance. Here's what you need to do. You saw it on stage tonight. Lastly, gang, answers are there. They are there in the Word of God, in the body of Christ. But we need to accept those answers, and we need to come in line with them. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, I thank you that we can look at the story of Rehoboam and see a man who almost got it right, who looked for advice but ultimately chose the wrong advice. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to apply this to our lives. Lord, there are things that are going to come at us that we don't know what to do. Help us to look to you first and foremost. Is there a written answer on this that we just missed or didn't get? That someone can show us, and that we can pick up reading your word and talking to you. And Lord, help us to always be able to spot those God followers who are living rightly, those who we look at and say, man, that's what I'm looking to do. That's how I want my life to be. Help us to have the courage and the humility to go and talk to them and ask, can you give me some advice on this, some counsel? And when we do, Lord, help us to take it in and engage it. Even if it's something different than what got us to that point, help us to be brave enough and have the courage to act on it and do what may not feel right and what the world may not say is right, but that you know is right and that you're leading us to. Would you stand with me? Lord, I want to thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. And now I pray that you would give us the power through your Holy Spirit that you put in each believer who accepts the free gift of salvation. Let that Holy Spirit guide us as we go out into the weekdays. Keep us strong and bring us back here next week, ready and able and willing to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. See you next week, 7 o'clock.